Mrs. Kai, as membership secretary, you had some firsts to your credit, right? Can you tell us about those firsts?
Well, it was while I was there as membership secretary that for the first time, I think it was a lady came in and gave her membership to NAACP. Before that, we had to solicit completely. Nobody came to the office to bring a membership. But after that, the membership started going, coming in. Under my, as a result of my, what would you say, my pushing, my work. For example, there were some ideas I felt that should be put over, including every day a membership day. That was the slogan, every day a membership day. Mm-hmm. Now, I felt that we should establish salesmanship clinics every week, every Tuesday night, and have key people who were going to work to solicit memberships to be trained to learn how to solicit. So we'd have the insurance agents from different insurance companies, black insurance companies, to appear as speakers each Tuesday night.
Did your husband ever take part in one of these clinics as an insurance salesman? Mm-hmm. Former?
No, he was teaching them.
He was teaching them?
Yeah. No, he was in the Army then.
Oh, in the Army.
I was with the Baltimore branch NAACP while he was in the Army.
Right, from 44, I guess, up until what?
23 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say. Mr. Exact Years.
Now,
no, that's a part of business. If you check that, I appreciate it. I can remember this thing.
Right. Now, but during your term as membership secretary, did you come to know Laura?
All right, now, wait a minute. I haven't quite finished this.
Mm-hmm.
After the insurance agents would finish their talks on workshops on how to solicit memberships, then we would set out to cover certain areas of the city. We'd begin soliciting immediately after those workshops. We'd start, for example, at the housing project, McCullough Housing Project. Mm-hmm. We'd divide up.
So you went to McCullough projects. Where else did you go?
Oh, we would solicit from block to block. We would, in other words, one worker or two workers would be given, say, two blocks nearest the office to solicit, and then finally, we come back and report our memberships.
So you covered the whole city that way, or at least
no,
the black areas?
No, this area.
Just the area around Jewett Hill and McCullough?
No, the 4th District.
Oh, the 4th District.
We'd go way up on the...
North Avenue?
Housing project.
Gilmore
mm-hmm. Housing Project. We'd get around Northwest Baltimore. That's what I'm trying to say. Northwest
right.
Baltimore. In other words, we were putting theories into practice and getting the memberships in prior to the monthly membership meeting, so we'd be assured of a certain amount of money for memberships before the mass meetings would occur. We'd report everything, all the memberships the total number of memberships we reported at the mass meeting, so we had at least 350, 400, 500 memberships at the mass meetings. We were assured of the success in that respect. We had the money. We'd also get donations and the like. See, that was under my direction. I was paid to do this.
Right.
Paid to
Oh,
do
you were
this.
Paid to do this?
Yes, mm-hmm. I was paid to do this.
Well, I thought you were volunteering.
I didn't volunteer. No. Uh-huh. I was paid to do that. I was a paid membership secretary.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I was paid. Not like Mama gave her services. I was paid to do that, so I had to deliver.
Uh-huh.
I had to deliver.
Right. Well, did
so I was going day and night. Uh-huh. Laura Moran, early in the mornings, say 2 o'clock in the mornings, we were downtown taking, mailing correspondence for the mass meetings or for special meetings we had. We would have meetings at people's houses, different people's houses, to raise money. We'd look in a telephone book and check. So in whether it was white or colored, we'd go to different houses.
Mm-hmm.
We'd see so-and-so person, we'd call on the phone and ask if we could have a meeting at so-and-so house, so-and-so night. And it worked. Mm. It worked. Mm.
So you just went at random in a telephone book?
These were creative ideas that I put over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just at random. And now finding, you said, if it just covered Northwest Baltimore, as I think back, no. We'd meet in South Baltimore. Mm-hmm. The salesman would meet us down in South Baltimore at Reverend Lillian Thompson's. She's working in ACT. Mm-hmm. And from there, we'd start out covering part of the South Baltimore area. Plus, we didn't have the success in South Baltimore as we had elsewhere because it seems that money was very, what would you say? We just couldn't get the money. The people didn't have the money to give as they had elsewhere.
Right. Now, you mentioned Laura Moran Carey. Did you come to meet her when you were membership secretary?
Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Mitchell, Juanita. Mm-hmm. Laura had been knowing for some time. Laura had admired her a great deal. She felt that Juanita was her inspiration. That's while I was away. I was with my husband at the time. She felt that Juanita was her inspiration. She'd heard Juanita speak mm-hmm. at the, was it Interracial Fellowship, that which they had in Baltimore at the time. And she asked her, went to see her one day and asked if she could do something for NAACP, something constructive. Right. She gave her services. That's when she came on around to the office and met me and asked what she could do.
Right, Mrs. Carey was white, right?
White, oh yes.
Right, now you said that she got involved, you mentioned before to me that she got involved in buying houses for black.
Well, that was later. Mm-hmm. That was not long ago before I left the NAACP. Mm-hmm. This real estate operator, black, contacted her about opening up Fulton Avenue to black people. And he had this plan. If she would sign for the purchase of 16 houses on Fulton Avenue, let's say two in one block, one in another block, two in another block, blockbusting, you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would provide the money, and at the same time, she'd be continuing with her NAACP work because she would be opening up, helping to open up Fulton Avenue to black people. So she did, but she did not know that he was going to exploit the black people because when those houses were bought by whites, naturally they moved out, then other whites moved out. He, in turn, sold those houses for terrific prices, such terrific profits that indicated that he was his objective had been to exploit black people.
Right.
In a way, he was helping to open up. In another way, he was getting money for a great deal of money for himself. So he had his own interest at heart at the same time. Naturally, he should get a profit from each house, but oh my, they were ungodly prices. And blacks bought those houses. They bought those houses. They were anxious to get out of the ghetto.
Right.
Then after that, of course, when the restrictive covenant case came up, oh my gosh, everything beyond Fulton Avenue began to open up to blacks. Mm-hmm. When she opened up Fulton Avenue, he could not have bought those houses.
Right.
That was Laura, a white girl who could do it. The whites would sell to whites, but would not sell to blacks.
Right.
She was put out of the Quaker church where she was a member as a result. The Quaker church put her out. Mm-hmm. Said she hoodwinked members of the white race in doing what she did. Mm-hmm. Hoodwinked them, took advantage of them.
You, as membership secretary, I guess you were involved in trying to bring Mrs. Roosevelt to Baltimore. At first, was that meeting supposed to be held at the Lyric? And then it was banned from the Lyric? I have some information.
No, she was scheduled for a mass meeting speaker, one of my mass meetings.
Right, this was
I went over to Washington and spoke at the National Women's Conference And then after I got through speaking, why, I talked with her about our organization in Baltimore and what it was meaning to black people, people period, in Baltimore and the state of Maryland, and asked her if she would be a guest speaker. Of course, Mrs. Bethune was her friend, and Juanita knew Mrs. Bethune, so all that had been prearranged, see?
Right.
Had been prearranged.
But she wasn't supposed to speak at the Lyric and was barred from there, because according to an Afro article of March 25th, 1944, she was said that she was barred from, she and Duke Ellington were barred from the NAACP's May membership drive.
Is that right?
Right.
I didn't know anything.
And they were trying to get McKelvey involved in the situation to
open
up.
I couldn't, Juanita, now Juanita could tell you about that end of it, but I never knew anything.
Right. Well,
my job was to get her as a guest speaker and speak at the conference so that this might stimulate her to, and since I was promotional secretary, on hearing me speak, and knowing the relationship to Mary McLeod Bethune, she might come over, and she did.
Now, I guess you were involved in the organization of the organizing of the NAACP's Youth Council, which involved getting young people involved in the NAACP from like.
We had Miss Hurley come down and organize our chapter, Ruby Hurley from New York City. Let's see now. What else do you want to know about the?
Well, can you enlighten us at all on?
It's the youth who went out to solicit memberships, learn how to solicit memberships, youth memberships, as well as adults. They helped to put over the mass meetings. They were ushers at the mass meetings. They were actively engaged in the work of the NAACP.
Right.
They would picket. They'd also picket when time came for picketing.
But this was something that grew out of your
that's
term
right,
as membership
right.
secretary,
oh, yes.
which was quite an important
yes.
thing, I guess. I guess
oh, yes.
this is when Robert Walsh was probably introduced to the NAACP, was it not? Well, we're going to something else. Mr. Pratt, Harry T. Pratt, did you know him?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's my principal.
Oh, he was?
My principal at 103 School.
Did he encourage you in your...
He knew, he didn't know anything about my art. I was just one of many students at that time. 103 School, I was a little thing at that time. To tell the truth, it wasn't... I was, when it comes to art, why, I loved art, but it was as I... When I developed into a teenager, I really became more active in art.
Now, your mother, there were two very striking black women of this period, and I want to know what kind of relationship they had with your mother. One was Sarah Fernandez, who came from a distinguished Baltimore
John
family.
The portrait that was painted of her?
You did?
I painted the portrait of her.
Oh, I didn't? Well, I wasn't aware
of it. Was hanging in the fellowship house for a period of time. I don't know where it is now, but I painted that portrait.
Oh, she died in 1951, Mrs. Fernandez. What?
You know, she was she headed the, did you find that organization?
Right, it was the Cooperative Women's Civic League. Cooperative Women's Civic League.
It was the Civic League
right.
she headed for a period of time.
Well, did your mother and she have a close relationship? They weren't close?
No.
Uh-huh.
No. She was a member of the Pie Crust crowd.
Pie Crust? No, what's that?
The Pie Crust crowd at that time did not work with the NAACP as it should. It was a common everyday man. I say common, no. It was the everyday man from the garbage men on up to people who in the everyday walk of life people who were really exploited and felt the pinch, perhaps of starvation and so forth. Now those people Mama worked with, she called them the others, the Pie Crust crowd, who did, most of whom didn't appear to be interested in helping the plain everyday man, you know?
Well, I was under the impression that Mrs. Fernandez was different. She did come from a distinguished
Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. She headed that. She had a project herself.
Mm-hmm.
She headed that. See, she didn't work with NAACP.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
she was in that organization. She put everything she could in that civic organization.
Oh.
So she was working in civic life in a way. But scared to death. Mm-mm. I scared you to death.
No.
That was the hoi play, what you call it? Hoi play law of the Pinecrest crowd in that organization.
Hmm.
Understand?
Right.
No. No people who needed help badly were in that
In NAACP?
In that civic organization.
Oh, in the civic, or the women's, or the cooperative women's.
It was the NAACP that worked to improve the opportunities and the status and jobs and all that type of thing, so that they could live better in life. It's NAACP, not the other organizations.
And
when it came to NAACP memberships, trying to get memberships from the Pinecrest crowd, what's their job?
The Pinecrest crowd.
What is the Pinecrest?
Well, it's the top.
It's the top.
Right.
That's Mama. That's Mama's expression. Maybe she heard it before, but that's how she referred to them. Pinecrest crowd. We had a job. Why shouldn't I know? Because I walked the streets soliciting to get memberships.
Mm-hmm.
If you encouraged others to do it in those salesmanship clinics, you had to do it yourself. Get out and get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
But didn't the Pinecrest
at a time
crowd live right around your mother? Because wasn't Drew Hill Avenue and McCullough Street the sort of center?
Of course, live around Mama,
and
but they didn't bother with the poor people.
They didn't.
No. And I just they like their luncheons. They'd have, I tell you what they would have. They'd sponsor art exhibits, the things of that nature. I won the first prize, second prize in the citywide. They have that type of thing, they're up a cultural type of projects, but getting opening opportunities for jobs and so forth, that wasn't they weren't interested in.
Mm-hmm. Now, another lady who carried on yeoman's work, I would imagine, was Miss Frances Murphy. Did she have
She was associated with AFRA.
Right.
So she didn't bother with NAACP. She'd have these, was Frances
clean
Murphy
block.
Had clean block campaigns, but
right.
That wasn't in connection with NAACP.
No, I didn't mention her in mind. I just wondered if, what kind of relationship that, say, Mrs. Fernandez and Miss Murphy had with your mother, since they were...
Well, their paths didn't cross much.
Oh, they didn't.
Their activities were in different directions.
Right.
You know, different directions.
But I read an article once, an article which said that your brother, Bowen, got his start in the organizing and so forth by being a part of the Clean Block.
He was a part, yes, but
right.
That doesn't say the Clean Block activities were spearheaded by NAACP.
No, I wasn't saying that. I was just wondering what kind of relationship your mother may have had with other people beyond those who were so closely identified with the NAACP. That's why I mentioned Mrs. Fernandez and Mrs.
Well, she wasn't closely identified with NAACP, Miss Fernandez.
No, I meant...
Miss Sarah Diggs, who was connected with the NAACP, went out for NAACP at the annual drives, membership drives.
Right.
Oh, she was a captain and so forth,
right.
You know, and Mr. Young, who used to be with the post office, Raymond Young,
right.
People like that, see. But each was doing his own thing.
Right.
Miss she made her contribution in the Civic League.
Right.
Her type of comment. But Mama was working with the poor man.
Poor man.
Poor man.
Mm-hmm.
Poor man. I mean working.
Right.
She got in the streets. I surely got in the streets. And Laura and I both worked in the streets. All the time.
Well,
I say all the time. We were in the office for a period of time. And then we went on out in the streets.
Well, what kind of reaction did... the pie crust have toward the southern immigrants.
The pie crust.
toward the southern immigrants that came up, especially when issues such as the controversy over where to build housing projects.
I don't know.
Came.
I don't want to discuss with them.
Uh-huh. Did your mother welcome these Southern immigrants to the city?
All I can say is this, that all black people who needed help, mama was there.
Mm-hmm.
If someone was in prison who had been sentenced in spite of the fact there was insufficient evidence, mama was there. The families would send for mama. The members of families would send for mama, and mama would get them out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's people really needed help in that nature. That's all I know.
Well, it seems
from Brazil. Here comes a letter from Brazil.
Brazil?
Oh, yeah, that was in that folder. A letter from Brazil. A fellow heard about her and her work. And he was writing her, telling her that they needed someone like Mrs. Jackson over there.
Oh, well, I wasn't aware of that.
It was in a letter.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems that Bethel AME did not play such a significant part in NAACP's activities as, say, Sharp Street. Can you account for this?
Oh, well, you know, the Young People Citywide Forum was started in Sharphead in Bethel AME Church.
Oh, it was?
Juanita, yes.
Hmm.
It was my idea to have a forum.
Mm-hmm.
My idea, not Juanita's idea. It's my idea. That's what I was trying to clarify with Mr. Wiggins when he was interviewing us. Juanita gets the credit for it, but it was my idea to have a forum. I graduated from the Airport League Institute. I was there for 3 summers, and there's where I met my husband, and I wanted to get out and help youth in the city, and it was my idea to have a forum on once a month, whereby different issues on young people would be discussed and handled by youth, and they'd have speakers and the like. But Juanita was better qualified than I was to put over this type of thing. And so it was Juanita who really organized the Young People Citywide, Young People's Forum. And it became a guiding light in and a foundation for these the picketing of the Lyric Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Picketing of the 5 and 10 cent stores, and outgrowth of Citywide Young People's Forum, which started at Bethel AME Church. So you can't say Bethel AME Church didn't cooperate. Mm. Oh, yes.
Now, I was told by someone that it was at these Young People's Forums, is that how you say it? It's at one of these meetings where you met Theodore McKeldin, is that true?
My sister would know more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she'd know much more about the Young People Citywide Forum.
Young People Citywide Forum.
She and Mama, oh my, they really pushed it.
Right.
Yes.
Now you said that's where you said that's where you met your husband, at least, well, at the...
No.
At the, what's the, Epworth
League Institute, Methodist
Epworth
Institute.
League
a Methodist
Institute.
Church Institute that was conducted every summer at Morgan State,
right,
at one of his Morgan College at the time. See,
right.
There's where I met him.
Right.
I got a certificate of merit for my work during those 3 summers at the Institute, and I thought of this idea of having this forum. Now, making it clear to you, and I wanted to go down in the records, because every time I turn around, it's Juanita Jackson Mitchell, whose idea, brainchild it was, and who started, she started it, she's the one who organized it, but it was my idea, see.
Right. To get back to your husband, in July of 1947, the Afro stated in one of his articles that your husband was named the superintendent to Cheltenham.
That is right.
Now, can you...
you want me to elaborate on
now,
that?
Yeah, in a word...
They only allowed him to stay for 6 months. That was the, what did we say? The...
Probationary period?
Probationary period. There was so much politics at Cheltenham, which you knew about beforehand. He had been warned not to go.
Who had warned
him? Well, so many people, they knew what.
Did your mother warn
him? I can't recall Mama what she warned, but I know different people warned him. And he decided that he'd just get a leave of absence from his job in Cambridge.
Right.
Instead of just quitting his job completely, that he'd get a leave of absence and try this job. So Mr. Fauntleroy, who was the supervisor of schools at the time in on the eastern shore of Maryland, brought the papers for him to sign, and so forth. He felt that he should apply for the job. So that's how it came about. He was going to accept the challenge, but my gosh, the road was rough and rugged.
Mm-hmm.
They had a you know, there were so many escapees from the school. It was a racket.
A racket?
You get $5 each boy who escaped and was picked up on the outside of the grounds. The person who caught the boy would get $5.
Oh.
And there'd be at least 30, 40 who would escape per month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that wasn't a whole lot of money. That was a lot of money in those days. It's nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband broke it up.
Mm-hmm.
He was not popular. Now, you see, all that was planned within the school.
Oh, you mean some of the staff would,
planned within the school. So then he felt that Cheltenham should be a training school for boys.
And not a penal.
Not a prison.
Right.
Not a prison. So he started right away making changes. Some felt that maybe he should have waited until later, until after his probationary period, but he insisted on beginning then. He wanted to be honest, and he felt that he could not be a man and face up to what was going on, the political setup within the walls of Cheltenham.
Mm-hmm.
So he was willing to take it,
mm-hmm.
and he did. And the board was very unsympathetic. In other words, there are members on the board who also cooperated
with
this chicanery.
Well, the kickback on the...
I better not say kickback. I don't know. The board was very unsympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave him a time. They gave him a fit. And one of those who helped to give him a fit became one of Mama's best friends.
And who's that?
Perhaps he tried to make up. Wearing Calvin Elkiah today. I better not say. There might be repercussions. And perhaps there won't be. But he became one of Mama's best friends because he worked like the Dickens later to cooperate with Mama in this this police, improving relationships between the police department and and black people in Baltimore. Had been persecuted by the police.
But you won't mention his name.
No, but he was a humdinger. He was a devil. He was a devil.
Did Mr. Wilson, Edmund Wilson, did your mother have influence on the board at Cheltenham? Did she work through any particular person, say, Edmund?
She stayed out of it.
She stayed out of it.
Oh, yes.
Until they dismissed him, Mr. Kaya?
Oh, yes. After they dismissed him, that was a different story.
Then she got into it.
But she didn't want anybody to say that she, was
she,
trying to influence him or that she was trying to influence the board, anything like that. Had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with it.
But she did get in it after he was dismissed. In what way?
Well, I mean, as far as I know, she helped to, she wanted to help to make it a new type of institution. It became Boys Village.
Right.
You know, the name was changed.
Right.
The name was changed. Juanita can tell you more about that because we left Baltimore and went on back to, he went on to get his doctorate then. He decided he wasn't going back to Cambridge. Went to get his doctorate, went to Columbia University. And we were there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. The Cheltenham affair is rather complex and confusing. It's when he was dismissed, the Afro said it was a unanimous decision. Then later on, in another article, it was
went
said...
Went back there, and he found that, that another decision had been made. Now, I can't recall exactly what it was. You can read about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can read about it. It was very confusing. But they said that he'd done a very good job, very good job. And they came back in the same breath and dismissed him.
Right.
That was politics. politics. He went to town at Cheltenham.
Mm-hmm. Well, according
I was
to
in charge of promotion. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Elder Shaw, Elder Carr presented a piano to the institution. A number of people in the community gave to Cheltenham to encourage the boys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In that 6 months' time, that fellow did a Herculean, a gigantic job. I mean, gigantic job. Talking about my husband.
Right.
I'm boasting about him now. I was right there and saw it, heard it, right with him. He went to town, and to think the board recommended that he continue at Cheltenham, and then, was it 2 or 3 days later? Here comes another decision that he's to be dismissed.
Right.
And that man had something to do with it.
Who was? Oh, the man that later
man
became
refused
your,
to name.
Yeah, became a friend of your mother.
Yes.